Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, it's Monday. Again, it's Monday. We got lots to get to. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Alabama. We'll get to the Taliban. We'll get to that stupid tennis. Is it over yet? Was that it last night?
That was it.
Oh,
done.
God. But even stupider to replace it, Fashion Week all this week here in New York. We'll get to Epstein and Apple and Schumer and Starbucks and a whole lot more. So, now the NFL, I don't like this at all. I mean, I love football, but it's still summer to me. I have football on Sunday, and Sunday night football's back. This is too soon.
Nah, it feels like fall out there.
What?
Yeah.
No, I don't say that.
A little bit of a nip.
Boy, this summer really it just stopped. It just slammed on the brakes and ended pretty fast. So let's just clear up Alabama. Are we clear on this yet?
Well, I think the president's tried to clear it up. I think Noah cleared it up.
Okay, yeah. Now, remember, here, this was the original problem. The president said the original forecast showed it hitting Alabama. And then he held up a chart, but it looked like he drew in the part where it hits Alabama. But as I pointed out back then, I think what happened was the original charts did show it hitting Alabama, and we know that now. They've all been found. But I think at that moment, for that little press opportunity, they couldn't find it, so he just drew what it was. But it was a perfectly accurate, right, exact description of what the original chart was. So then he got made fun of that he claimed at one point it was going to hit Alabama. That was never predicted, never forecast, right?
Well, yeah, but the point is...
Here we go.
The point is, he was referring to a threat to Alabama when it none existed.
Yeah, but if you watch that, he was saying the original forecast showed Alabama. And then on Friday, the official government agency that handles this, the National Oceanics and Atmospheric
Administration
yeah. said he's right, that it was the original forecast, and they put out the four charts that he had seen.
Right.
And then on Friday afternoon, somebody discovered the original CNN forecast, which it's up on my Twitter if you want to see it, where CNN forecasts it will hit Alabama. And Don Lemon brings in the weather guy who says, and it's going to hit Alabama probably, and he shows it hitting Alabama. So the president was 1,000% right. The original forecast showed it hitting Alabama. So Lester Holt, Chuck Todd, the whole fake news world snaps into action. And they start doing stories about this. They changed it. You know, talk about moving the goalpost. The news story was he was still saying it after the forecast had changed. But that's not the original. They left out that they had spent a week claiming that Alabama had never been in the forecast. They were broadcasting this false information for almost a week. So now the news story is... that he pressured the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association to come forward.
Correct, yeah.
And that he's mixing politics and weather. That's got to be the crime of the century. Mixing politics and weather. Where does this stop? This is just...
Look, he was correct when he said Alabama was threatened. Initially.
Yes. He was correct. They were not only... inaccurate, lying, but being preposterous, making a five-day story out of whether Alabama was ever in the forecast. How does that even become a news story?
Well, it just shows you, I mean, what the mainstream media will go to embarrass the president.
That's unbelievable. And then I was watching Jake Tapper, and...
Did they apologize by any chance for getting it wrong?
No, he made up a whole fake new version of it, the president has mixed weather and politics. This has never happened before. So, but never once did he say, hey, by the way, we forecast Alabama. Here's the clip. You got to go to my Twitter to see it. That's, you can't see it on CNN where it should be seen. So the whole thing.
It's a crazy story, wasn't it?
It's the stupid, this fake news. You know, besides the fact that it's fake news and that it's just wrong for the media to do this, they're abandoning normal news coverage. You know, if somebody got in the time machine, a younger person today, and they went back to 2006 or any other year, and they put on CNN, they'd be totally confused. They do all different stories all day. They go, they would know, what the hell is this? What, You know, if you watch it now, it's just all Trump all day.
That's right.
It's what did Trump do wrong 24/7. That's the whole hour. Every segment is what did Trump do wrong. If you went back in a time machine, you wouldn't understand how this works. Well, wait a minute. They're doing a story. They just switched to another story. Well, now they're doing a different story. You've never seen, nobody's ever seen a newscast like this. Or if you watched MSNBC, wait a minute, the next segment is on something totally different. But I don't think we can ever get back there. It's too far gone.
It is too far gone. I think you're right.
You used to put on these news networks, and what they would do is they would bring you all different stories about all the different things that happened in the news. I don't think we'll ever get back to that.
Do you think if we had a Democratic president, these networks would be so crazy about covering that president?
Yeah, well, it would go back to the way it was, where everything he does is brilliant. Look how he was being very thorough. He even included Alabama. He was being overly cautious with the hurricane coming. Everything would be like that. So, I don't know. You know, there's challengers now to the president. Who's this Mark Sanford? He was a guy in a lot of scandal.
Yeah, he's the guy that said he went hiking in the Appalachians when he was actually shacked up with a girlfriend somewhere.
He makes Biden look legitimate. This Sanford was governor, yep. And he got
South Carolina
in an affair, and he's running.
After a lot of thinking, praying, and talking to friends, I've decided to throw my hat in the ring and we'll run for president in the Republican primary.
Make it like a game show. See if anybody watching can guess who the hell this guy is. So they've canceled 3 Republican primaries just to stop this guy. They canceled South Carolina, Nevada. There's another one. They canceled 3 of them, which is good. Cancel them all. I mean, who wants to listen to this guy?
We're headed toward the most predictable financial crisis in the history of our country, and we've never been as
It's like a broke version of Tom Steyer.
Yeah, right.
It's these boring, dreary guys. We got to stop all this. You know, people just think if I get the right lighting and if I stand there and I talk serious, I can be on television, I can be a candidate. Even Biden is having some problems now with the Democrats. Even David Axelrod, leading Democrat, wasn't he one of Obama's campaign directors?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
He's come forward to say Biden is just too much of a liar. Like, the lying is through the roof. And but he's bothered about Biden is lying about every position he ever had. Nobody was more pro-Iraq war than Joe Biden. And you can watch the video. It can just run hours of video of Biden pushing for the war, pushing weapons of mass destruction, talking about how much we need to go to war with Iraq. So now he runs around saying, I was the one opposed. I was the one that stood up to Bush. I was the one that opposed it. It just looks ridiculous. He's been doing that with every position. So problem is, you got to decide what kind of liar you want if you're a Democrat. Well, he lies about all his positions, about his son's corruption, about all that stuff. Or you could go with Elizabeth Warren, who lies about whether or not she's an Indian. I'll give you an example of how we have no news media anymore. You remember all that controversy where she said she was an Indian and she got jobs and money based on it? She has 3 brothers. If there were legitimate news organizations, somebody, a reporter, would have gone to one of the brothers, all the brothers, and said, are you an Indian? Have you ever put down that you were an Indian? Because if they're not Indian, she's not an Indian.
That's right.
But remember, she made up this silly story. Well, my great-grandmother once told me I was an Indian or something. No news organization went to the brothers and said, did you ever hear this? Was it ever discussed in your family? That's an example of what I'm talking about. Not only do they make up fake news about the president, but anything about a Democrat will not get investigated, won't get looked at all. So this Thursday is the debate. 10 people. Tom Steyer, didn't make it, but he's now qualified for October somehow.
Right. He got a 2% in some poll somewhere.
Yeah, he was too late for this one. But Thursday night is the debate. It'll be 10 candidates. And we'll see what happens. I think 2 things are going on here. 1, Biden has to just get through it in one piece. If he falls apart, that's a big problem. And the other thing is Kamala Harris is basically wiped out. She lost everything. So she has to make a comeback Thursday night, or that's it. She's pretty much gone.
But she disappeared quickly, didn't she?
As predicted. She wasn't going to last. She's a dreary, boring, depressing-looking woman. Now she's going to have, she only had a moment there because in the first debate, she went after Biden and slapped him around. If you study the history of this stuff, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to just get up there and start slapping them around and hit them with everything. And in early debates, there's always somebody that does that, and they get a little bump there. But that person always leaves the race. That only works in the beginning. It disappears, and then they're forgotten about. So that's Kamala Harris. We'll see if she can make a comeback Thursday. I doubt it. Buttigieg has now fallen way behind. He's in the debate, so he's going to have to do something to just come up a little. He's got to stop that Father Pete stuff, that St. Buttigieg. It's really annoying, that little routine that he does. The Taliban. You know, the president, a lot of flack. Why was he secretly meeting with the Taliban? He's trying to get out of Afghanistan, just trying to pull us out of there and end it. So it had been arranged there would be some sort of secret meeting with a Taliban leader at Camp David.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Camp David?
No.
The most, I don't want to say, it's a nice place, but you got to like that kind of stuff. It's a log cabin. You're out in the woods. It's not a Donald Trump kind of place. If you're wondering, why does he go to Bedminster? He's not the log cabin.
Well, he wanted to do it out of the public eye.
Yeah, no, but that's why he went there.
Yeah.
But he hates Camp David. It's a log cabin.
Sure.
He's not into log cabins being out in the woods. But it's the most secure location in the world for a president. It's the one place where the Secret Service doesn't come with you. It's a military base, basically. It's guarded by the military. And that's why they were going to do the Taliban there. But, you know, if you're the Taliban leader and you go to Camp David, you're thinking to yourself, what luxury. Oh, my God, I heard he lives like a sultan. We've never seen anything so luxurious. We heard about these palaces. So what did they do exactly? They were close in the negotiations. Then the Taliban was trying to get some leverage, so they killed an American.
Yes.
They actually killed an American in Afghanistan?
Kabul, yeah.
In Kabul, they killed an American. They launched a little attack. They were using it to get some leverage, but they picked the wrong guy to try that with, so the president immediately canceled everything. There's no negotiations at all. Now, then you get all these deep state swamp guys who've been there forever, these bureaucrat State Department guys who all come forward, and Chuck Todd can't put them on the air fast enough, and George Stephanopoulos and Lester, they'll interview them, and they'll say, well, this was being done all wrong. You must have preconditions before you meet. They give you all these rules.
Mm-hmm, what
you're supposed to do. You must establish, they must agree to preconditions before meeting, and not one of these guys, no Chuck Todd ever says to these guys, you know, we've been looking at this. You guys have failed in every negotiation you have ever done. You've never succeeded ever once in anything. You've never been successful. The Iran agreement you came up with stunk. The North Korea agreement, everything you've ever done failed. Why should we listen to you? Have you ever heard anybody ask him that?
No, doesn't come up.
And Donald Trump always points that out. Somebody asked about it in one of Sarah Sanders' last press conferences. And said, you know, they've all come forward and said that you shouldn't have done this and that. And she said they failed every single time, 1,000% of the time. She said these are the last people we would ever turn to for counsel and advice on how to do this. So Jeffrey Epstein, isn't this amazing, this MIT?
Yeah.
So you remember the college scandal with this Lori Loughlin and these mothers were all having, they were cheating, hiding stuff and defrauding the universities and fake SAT tests and all that. So they're going to jail now. But look at this MIT. This college is even worse. They're covering up Jeffrey Epstein donations. I don't know why. Do we know why? Epstein was giving millions and bringing in millions and millions to MIT. Obviously, he wanted something out of there. This wasn't just generosity.
Yeah, maybe at some point he wanted a building named after him.
It could be, but I have a feeling there's more to this story. Something will come out. There was something they were doing for him. And it could be a financial thing where, you know, he was getting stuff for billionaires and investments, and maybe they were getting him access to something, technology, information, doing something for him. There was a reason he was bringing in millions. Nobody's found that yet. But they were covering it up. And they've discovered documents, emails, where it actually says the Epstein donation will be disguised as this. And it will be put in this way with no name on it. And these MIT guys are really good. They'd make great gangsters. They put it right in the email. We can't let it be known that it's Epstein. So cover up the name. Switch the name to this. They put this in emails.
That's brilliant.
Documents. And they've all been caught. The main MIT guy who took these donations is resigned. He's been fired, but you know, he put out one of those "I want to spend more time with my family" kind of statements. Yeah. So he's gone. And Bill Gates' name has come up again. He was one of the, it wasn't Epstein just putting in money, but he got Leon Black to give money, and somehow this is like the third time Gates' name has come up in one of these. I don't think Gates is guilty of anything. The Gates people are saying, we just like MIT and we just want to give money to them, which does make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Bill Gates, I would assume that's like the first place you'd be giving money to is MIT. So, hey, the other thing is the jail that Epstein was in. You remember I told you there was a lot of corruption there?
Mm-hmm.
They arrested a guard in January. He was taking a $25,000 bribe. They sent him to jail. There was another guy that had three cell phones with him in his cell. That's why they call them cell phones. But there's a massive study that came out. Tremendous corruption in this jail. Millions of people have been bribed, bought off. There was one guy, CIA spy or something. He was locked up there. Turned out he was able to continue his spy work, his hacking, everything out of the jail cell. Whoa. He got computer equipment, whatever. So it turns out this is totally corrupt, this jail. One of the people working there said, I can't believe they put Epstein in there, but they didn't find a better facility to put him in.
Didn't they say that this is the most secure facility in the city?
Yeah, unless you're a criminal, then you could do whatever you want. Unless you got $25,000, then it's not so secure then. So, hey, check out the webpage. There's a lot of good stuff up there. Michael Goodwin will be with us in a few moments, but go to the webpage. This is the most important video on climate change. George Carlin, you just got to watch this and pass this around. This is George Carlin explaining why you don't have to worry about climate change. It's brilliant. And then watch this, 1979. Here's a young, unknown comedian. Watch this, see if you think this guy's going to make it. His name is Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
But watch him as a total unknown. Also, you want to see some great parking spot revenge? Ever have anybody steal your parking space? Watch this. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mark Simone. On the Voice of New York. 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Tomorrow's a big day for the new iPhone. Apple will introduce the iPhone Pro tomorrow. They'll introduce three new iPhones, new AirPods, new watch, new iPads, new MacBook Pros, all that stuff's tomorrow. The stuff will probably go on sale Friday, but tomorrow's the big announcement. If you're walking by the original Apple store at 59th and 5th, you'll notice they have opened it up. The store's not actually open yet, but they've opened up the all that construction stuff. They've taken it away. You can see the new glass cube. It's all different colors. It's all lit up. It's beautiful. Let's go to David in Connecticut. Hey, David.
Hi, Mark. I just wanted to tell you about going up to Manchester, New Hampshire on Saturday.
Oh, that's an exciting trip.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was the State Democratic Convention.
Yeah.
And I heard them all. I mean, they just came on stage one after another, you know, punctuated by local mayors and stuff. But the interesting people to me were obviously Liz Warren, who's basically local. And she actually gave an effective speech. I mean, I totally disagree, but she gave an effective speech, brought the House down.
Well, remember, she's been doing this for years. And, of course, she's a professor.
Oh, yeah. No.
And that's what you do as a professor. You give speeches.
But Beto O'Rourke, it looked like his last hurrah. I mean, he was flailing around as if something was wrong with him.
Yeah, but again, he's like the mascot. He's like the San Diego chicken. They'll keep him around just because he's fun to have there.
And Tom Steyer spoke, whom you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, he's painful.
And I caught up to Tom Steyer. Oh, it was terrible. So wearing a $5,000 suit, which he took the jacket off. So I went to, I found him in the arena. And I said, I understand that you made your money from coal and fossil fuels, which is true. And he said, oh, that's completely untrue. Well, it's absolutely verified.
That's- no, I understand. Steyer's a bad guy, very bad guy. And you got to wonder about these guys. You know, it's like a guy who's the most dreary, boring guy with no personality whatsoever, who says to himself, I should be on TV making speeches. I mean, he's got no realistic view of himself. The thing is, when you're a billionaire and you're running every consultant, the top campaign guys, pollsters, consultants all show up because they want to get you to pay them. So when you are a billionaire and you're running the number one pollsters, the top political consultants, the most famous campaign guys all show up and say, you know, I did a study. You are through the roof in your numbers. You could win. You could, they all want to be hired at $25,000 a month, $50,000 a month, $100,000 a month. And they all get these jobs. Now they've all left Tom Steyer, and I've asked all of them. Every one of them tells the same story. Steyer is incapable of listening for more than 5 seconds to anything. He can't read anything. You can give him the books, the papers, the this. He never reads it. He's just one of these attention deficit guys. He made all his money in coal and fossil fuel, and now he runs around just looking for attention. Let's go to Glenn in Hillside. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Mark. I can relate to how ridiculous it is about making a big deal about Trump. Adding something to that chart. I had a same situation where a contract with the CEO of the company, I misplaced the contract, so I simply signed the CEO.
You didn't misplace it. You're sloppy. You do that all the time, don't you?
That's it.
You weren't paying attention, were you?
I was paying attention.
No, you weren't.
You know, it's the same thing. He just signed his name to it. The same thing as what Trump did. And just, it was already existing, so I figured, why not?
Well, you know, here's the bottom line on all this. Here's the takeaway from this. It was, whatever it was, 5 days, a week later, and Trump says, and Alabama was in the original forecast. He remembered that. Nobody else remembered that. These guys didn't have the original charts. He remembered Alabama. I remember I've always told you this. People say he doesn't listen. He's the best listener I've ever seen. He will remember everything you've said. And I've warned people about this, and they'll tell me a year later, boy, you were right. I said 72% in a meeting, and a year later it was 76%. And he yelled at me, he goes, you said 72%. He'll remember every number, everything. So a week later, he remembered Alabama was in the original forecast. And think about this. Every major news, everything, every anchor, every reporter, every one of these news people said, Alabama wasn't in the forecast. Who said Alabama was in the forecast? So think about that. They couldn't remember that Alabama was in the original forecast. Even CNN, who had forecast Alabama, couldn't remember it. So you got to wonder about these people if their memories aren't that sharp. It just tells you something about their mental state.
He still was talking about Alabama when it wasn't impacted.
But watch the original thing where they're sitting at the desk. All he says is, Alabama was in the forecast originally, and they went nuts. Alabama was never in the forecast. You got to wonder about their faulty memories. Let's go to Frank in Little Ferry.
Hey, Mark.
How could you live in a place called Little Ferry? I'm sure it's nice, but they have to go around all your life saying, I live in Little Ferry.
And I've gotten nothing.
I have your own conversation. That is what I have to say. Yes.
Love him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just amazing how much people love Trump.
Yeah, it is. So anyway,
and
where do you live?
Walmart. Little Ferry, New Jersey.
Little Ferry. I never heard of that.
You know where Rosie's? You remember Rosie's Diner?
No. What's Rosie's Diner?
Well, that's the commercial. The commercial. Rosie's Diner. Remember what's her name? The girl from Rhoda. The old lady. They used to film the commercial in the diner.
Was this like on the Lone Ranger radio show in 1940? Nancy Walker.
That's our claim to fame. Don't take it away.
Oh, well, that's a good one. There was something 38 years ago there for a minute. That's a good claim to think. What's like the biggest thing in Little Ferry?
Flooding. That's about it. Oh. Every time it rains, we get
Is there
flooding.
Actually a ferry there?
There used to be back in the 1700s.
You don't even have a ferry anymore. All right.
No, they sank it.
All right.
But, I just came from Walmart, and I was spent a half hour talking to some guy stopped me in the parking lot. He goes, I like your hat. And we talked about Trump for a half hour. Well, everybody loves the guy.
What else do you have to do all day? You're the kind of guy that sits there and talks to the greeter for a half hour.
Hey, I'm retired. I get all
I was wondering why you're still in your pajamas at 10:30, but okay.
And my slippers. And my slippers.
Thanks for calling. Take care. Oh, when we come back, Michael Goodwin will be with us next. He wrote a great column on Biden and Warren. We'll get to that in a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, the best columnist in America, Michael Goodwin, very important to read his column every Sunday, every Wednesday in the New York Post, and he's with us every Monday morning. Michael Goodwin, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you.
Excellent column on, now, Elizabeth Warren, the plan is slowly sneak up on Biden, just be the number two waiting for him to fall apart, is that it?
Well, look, and Biden seems to be cooperating. His performances have just gone from bad to worse. And I think this debate this Thursday is going to be a big turning point in the campaign. This will be the first time that Biden and Warren are on the stage together. Because of the other formats, they've, just by the luck of the draw, they've been on different nights. But now there are only 10 who qualified for this round, and they'll all be on the stage together. So Biden and all of his enemies, Biden and 9 other rivals, really, Harris, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, all those who think they have a shot are going to take their shot at Biden, because it's really the only way to climb the ladder is to go after the front runner and make your mark that way. So I think though he's going to be the pinata again.
Yeah. But do you think Elizabeth Warren A could actually really get the nomination, and would America ever elect a Harvard professor as president?
Well, those are really the questions we're going to have to answer. I think that, as I write in the column, Mark, one of the issues that's been going on is that Biden is somewhat a moderate in relative terms to the rest of them. And because he's been the front runner, and this sense of inevitability that's clinging to his campaign, I think people have not really focused on what the others are saying as much as they will if Biden is no longer the front runner. Then suddenly Warren, I think, is going to be exposed, as is Sanders and Buttigieg and Harris. I think they're all sort of hiding behind Biden's front runner status, which has been convenient for everybody. But if he's no longer the front runner, and say Warren is, then I think the party is going to have a new problem, which is, what are we, you know, she supports some version of the Green New Deal. She supports Medicare for all. I mean, it is hard to describe how radical these ideas are, how expensive and how disruptive they be, not only to health care, to health insurance plans that people get through work. I mean, it is something, I couldn't get an exact number, but it's something on the order of 150 million people have private health insurance, and most of those through work. Others purchase it on their own. There are various ways of cutting that number. But it seems to me, from what I read, something of 150 million people have private health insurance. The census says it could be 200 million people. I mean, and she's going to take all that away. They're going to say, Medicare for all, your private insurance plan is now illegal, much as Obama did with the catastrophic plans under Obamacare. You could no longer buy the things you wanted. So when he said you can keep your doctor, it was a lie. The plan was going to outlaw that kind of stuff. So what the Democrats are proposing is so far out there and so disruptive. I mean, it would really shake the foundations. Take the Green New Deal. I mean, what the purists want to retrofit every building in America, including your home, to meet these new carbon standards. Remember de Blasio said we're going to, you know, not build skyscrapers. I mean, this is what they want to do to your homes, to every building. And this will be so disruptive to people's lives that I can't believe that the public will go for this. But I think that right now, most people are not paying attention to it. It's early. We just ended the summer, so I think there'll be more attention paid to it. That's why I think this debate this week could be, you know, sort of the most important one and have the most dramatic impact yet.
You know, Michael Goodwin, the big problem, we're operating without a news media. There's no actual real news media anymore.
Right.
So a guy like de Blasio,
it's just you and me talking.
Yeah, that's it. But a guy like de Blasio, these progressives, can get on the air and say, we're going to stop skyscrapers, none of this building. And they never bother to report day and night, hey, these guys take more money from these builders and allow more cranes and more crap to go up than anybody else. Who's ever going to expose all this?
Yeah, well, it is interesting right now on the left. Everything is this contest to see, can you be more radical than the next guy? So on this now climate crisis, I mean, CNN does a 7 hours. 7 hours of TV on the climate crisis that the left has conjured up. And Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, says that it could be more important than World War II. I mean, you know, so how do you top that, right? I mean, that's the nature of this competition now. I have to say the most outrageous thing. I have to go further than everybody else, otherwise I won't get attention. So Beto O'Rourke, for him, it's we have to do reparations for slavery. We have to we're going to confiscate your guns. I mean, you have, that's the only way to get attention in this kind of sophomoric culture of the far, far left. You have to hate America. And that's really, I think, Mark, what is going on here. There is this hatred for America as it is. It is not good enough for these Democrats. It is foul. It is polluted. It is racist. It is greedy. I mean, they have made it a kind of moral campaign against America. And I think that's going to become visibly and shockingly clear in the coming weeks.
Wow, interesting. Well, if you want to read a great column, get Michael Goodwin's column, yesterday's New York Post. But you can go online. It's every Sunday, every Wednesday in the New York Post. And Michael Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Take care. And check out the webpage. If you want to see the best speech ever on climate change, this is why you don't have to worry about climate change. Nobody says it better than George Carlin. I mean, it was a few years ago, but it's brilliant. Watch George Carlin on climate change. Also, now watch this. It's 1979. Young comedian, totally unknown. Watch this. He's making his first TV appearance. See if you thought this guy would make it. His name is Jerry Seinfeld. But watch him as a total unknown. Also, you want to see some great parking spot revenge? It's up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.